Taking our pastor, Brother Chick.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Buck and Jennifer, it's good to see you this morning. They were Carson's mother and daddy, and we're glad to see your family here this morning. God bless you. You already know we prayed for your little one for a long time. And now he's with the Lord, and we'll rejoice in that. And then we have other visitors with us today. We want you to know we really appreciate you coming to worship with us. Thank you, Alice. I was just getting ready to ask for some help. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah this morning. When I was a young, well, I'm still a young preacher, but when I was a real young preacher, I loved the book of Isaiah, and there are some wonderful, blessed promises in that book. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9, God's highways and man's low ways. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he was near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Listen carefully. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Shall we pray? Father, we're so thankful for the truths of thy word this morning, and we're thankful for the victories that have been won in Christ Jesus, and we're thankful for answered prayer. Now bless us as we study together. May our hearts be knitted with yours. And for those that are without Christ, that they'd get saved. And for those of us who've already been saved, Lord, help us to draw nigh unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think most of us already understand this, but from the beginning of time, there's always been a marked difference between the way God does things than the way that mankind does things. And as we read our scripture this morning, we've already recognized and we see that his ways are higher than ours. And his thoughts are higher than ours. And you know, that makes it important because, you know, if God was like each one of us, he wouldn't be much of a God, would he? But since he is capable of this, and since he is higher than us, he's a God that can look down on us, and he can understand our shortcomings. He can understand some of the things we think. He can understand the things sometimes that we do, and sometimes the things we do, we don't even know why we do them. But he's a God that can help us through these times in life. There's not a person sitting in this room this morning that would not say that sometimes in your life you did something and then a few days later or even immediately after you performed whatever you were doing that you didn't say, why in the world did I do that? Now, Mrs. Chick, I hope, didn't say that when she married me. But I tell you what, we have to ask ourselves sometimes, and it's not logical. And we do things that are not feasible. And we do things that are not smart. And we get into this groove of walking in quicksand, so to speak, or in a mud hole, and it just keeps pulling us down. Well, I've got some good news for you. We need to remember that God's good to mankind and gives us the ability to think and to reason. I used to work as a juvenile officer when I was in college, and I had 19 boys that I had the privilege of being with and looking after. And the first thing I taught those boys was this: before you do something, stop and think. And you know, if we'd do that, not only the lost, but if we Christians would do that, our lives would be more pleasing to God, and we would be happier individuals. And so as we drilled this into those young men's minds and their hearts, most all of them took that to their hearts. And most all of them recouped themselves from falling in the traps of the peer group that they ran with. And so when somebody was going to do something wrong, they said, "Don't stop to pick me up." Because they stopped and they began to think for themselves. Now, this privilege that we have is the thing that separates us from the animal kingdom. The human race has heartache simply because we don't use these two abilities that God's given us. We have problems that we need not have had. But the fact is that mankind cannot know God's way and perform them. But man, in his finite mind, prefers to do things his way than God's way. Now, let me show you how this works. And it starts early in life, and we were talking about our new little lamb added to our flock. When our children were small, it'd get icy in Enid, Oklahoma. And they were pretty close together, 14 months apart. And we'd begin to move to go to the grocery store or somewhere. And we always bragged on them as being big boys, you know. That's how you raise a child, brag on them. And let them know when they do something good, let them know that you appreciate them and they're big boys. And if you have girls, I don't think you ought to call them big boys. But if you have boys, big boys. If they have girls, good, you girls are doing great. And you know, they got to thinking, I'm older and I'm smarter. And so we'd start out to get in the car, and in those days we didn't have a garage and we didn't have much of a car. But I would want to take them by the hands, and they'd pull their little arms up and say, "No, I do it." And then I'd stick my finger down and they said, "No," because I wanted to get a hold of my finger, you know, to hang on. "No, I do it." And so it started off, and you know exactly what happened. They stepped on the ice, and up went their little feet, and down on their gluteus maximus, wham. And then I'd have to pick them up, and there were tears down their eyes. And I'd tell them, "Now let Dad hold your hands, boys." They didn't say, "I do it." They stuck their little hands up, and I would take them by their little hands and hold them, and we would continue our journey to the car. And when they'd slip again, instead of going down, I would lift them up. You said, "Well, how did they respond?" They smiled. You don't have to be 21 years old to know that if you land on your gluteus maximus on the back of your head, that it hurts. And so they smiled. Wouldn't it be wonderful with our Heavenly Father, instead of us saying to Him, "I do it"? Wouldn't it be wonderful that with our Heavenly Father that we would simply turn and say, "Father, I want to do it your way"? Wouldn't that be a refreshment? And you say, "Well, why would anybody say that?" Because the Bible says, "As for God, His ways are perfect." And subsequently, if they're perfect, then we don't have to worry about the consequences and falling and hurting ourselves are doing something in our life that would destroy us or something that would bring heartache and disappointment, we'd have something that would lift us up when we needed to be lifted up and keep us from falling. Now, this morning, let's look at some of the differences between us and God. You say, well, preacher, now wait a minute, let's get realistic. We'll never be like God. Oh, yes, we will. One of these days when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Yes. And even now, if we're saved, our soul is sealed unto the day of redemption. And sometimes we don't quite understand this, and I'm not preaching on this morning, but when we get saved and we ask Jesus to come into our heart, he doesn't seal our mind and he doesn't seal our flesh. The only thing he seals is our soul. And the Holy Spirit seals our soul unto the day of redemption. So let's begin to look at the subject of the human transgression. Adam and Eve had it made when they were doing it God's way and following God's thought. Now, most all of us know the story of Adam and Eve. And we know that God created them in his likeness. And we know that that he fellowshiped with them every day. And you know, Adam and Eve had a new birth, didn't they? And so there was that new birth, and so they had a fellowship with God, and God said, everything you want is yours, just don't eat of this tree. And you know, they were doing real good, and they were listening to God, and as long as they listened to what God said, things went well. And all the people said, amen. Now, when did the problem start? When old Smutty Face, the old devil, came in and he began to challenge them and tried to get them to question what God could do and would do. And God said, now in the day that you eat of this tree that I told you not to eat, thou shalt surely die. Well, they said, old devil came in and he said, oh, he don't know what he's talking about. You'll not surely die if you eat of that tree. But God said you would. Now, this morning, we need to figure out whether we want to listen to the ways of the world or the ways of God. Whether we want to listen to the ways of God or the ways of the devil. And you know, a lot of people and a lot of Christians are getting to do this. And they say, well, you know, I know a lot of other Christians that aren't doing the things that God's asked them to do. And they don't seem to have any problems. And I know what God expects us to do. And subsequently, they're not doing it. And they're not having any problems. And so it's all right for me to do it. Remind you again, wrong's always going to be wrong. And right is always going to be right. And you know what? It's not going to change. Now, Adam and Eve found that out, didn't they? And I know some of you are sitting back there and you say, well, yeah, you see there, it's not really my fault that I've made bad decisions. It's Adam and Eve's fault because they did sin. Well, they did introduce sin into the world through the craftiness of the devil. But you see, we're not paying for Adam and Eve's sin. We're paying for ours. It's what we've done that cost us. It's the bad choices that we make that we have to pay for. And so they had food and shelter. All their needs were provided without work. They were surrounded by beauty and joy and peace. And a person who is safe in the arms of Jesus has the same provision. Do you know that? You have the same provision Adam and Eve had. You say, well, I'm having to work, Brother Chick. Yeah, but isn't it true that if you're safe in the arms of Jesus, doesn't he take care of you? Somebody was telling me this last week how that God had blessed them. And they said, Pastor, we didn't even know how this thing was going to work out. And we heard you preach, and we read our Bibles, and it said the Lord's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And we have this problem that arose, and we didn't have the wherewith to take care of it, and we didn't know how this thing was going to work out. And we just said, well, Lord, like you pray sometimes, Pastor, Lord, I don't even know how to take care of this. And we just left it in God's hands. I said, And a big smile came on their faces, and he said, and the Lord took care of it. Huh? Well, I asked him, I said, did it surprise you? And they said, no, because we've been here before, you see. And some of you children of God today, you're out there struggling in the world, and you're not living for the Lord, and things keep going backwards for you, and you take one step forward and six backwards, and things go wrong in your life, and your heart's broken, and things won't work out, and you say, I don't understand why these things are happening. Stop and think. Brother, when things become unraveled in my life, the first thing I do is I stop and I look at my life and see what's going on there. Am I right with God? Am I in the center of His will? Am I obeying what He's asked me to do? Because if you're His child and you don't do what He asks you to do, you're going to have problems. And you say, why? Well, the reason is because you went against His will. When I was a kid, my mother and dad were sweet Christians after I was 9 years old. And they taught me the ways of the Lord, and they taught me what was right and wrong. And I found this to be true, that when Mom and Dad said, you don't do this, it's not good for you, I didn't say, why? Sometimes you just almost want to slap them to sleep. Kid, you tell a kid what to do, and they say, why? Now, my dad didn't have to tell me why. He showed me why. He said, because I'm the dad and you're the kid. Well, Dad, everybody else is doing it, and then the neighborhood kids got in trouble, and I didn't get in trouble, and then I learned out why. I'm glad I didn't do it. Dad knew what he was talking about. He knew what problems I could have if I didn't listen to my training and to the godly training that him and mother was giving me. And I'm here to tell you today, it works the same way today as it did then. When God says do it, and don't ask why. Just say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. That's what we need. Well, you say, well, my way is as good as God. Is that what the scripture says? As God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Well, now I've got to believe one of two things. Either you know what you're talking about or God knows what He's talking about. May I suggest to you, I vote for God. He's got the answer. And I might be bullheaded and hard-headed and a knucklehead. We had a little girl that lives close to us, and she was telling Mrs. Chick the other day and me, she said, my daddy calls me a screwball. And Mrs. Chick said, you know what a screwball is? And she said, yes. And honey, what was it? I can't remember what she said, but it wasn't nincompoop, but it was something like that. And otherwise a goof off or a goof head or something. And she knew what it meant. And she's just 6 years old. Yeah. I think most of us are more than 6 years old. Linda's 28 this week. Isn't that right, Dad? I feel sorry for you, Joel. But I feel more sorry for me than when she gets a hold of me. Yeah. You say, but you don't have to have a PhD in theology, Pastor, to realize that God's ways are the best ways. Then why in the world do we not do it God's way? Whoa. It just makes so much more sense. And you say, well, I don't always know how God's way is. And I might have a good way too. Listen to me. If you have a question mark about what's happening, run as fast as you can away from that type of a decision. He that waiteth on the Lord shall what? Renew his strength and mount up as wings of angels, or eagles rather. Yes. It's not hard. So many Christians say, well, I find it hard to serve the Lord. It's not hard to serve the Lord. He said, I'll never forsake you. I'm never going to leave you. And the problem is, if it's hard to serve the Lord, it's because we want to do it our way rather than His. Yes. Yes. When I was in college, I was a young married man, and one day we went down, I went down, sat down to visit with Dad and Mother, and I had reached that point in my life. I knew God was calling me to preach, and I knew that it was going to be soon that I was going to surrender my will to His will, and I wanted to tell my parents something. I went to their home, and we sat there in the living room, and we're visiting. And Dad said, well, I'm glad, son, that you took time to come by. And I said, well, Dad, I've got something I want to tell you. And he got a troubled look on his face. He said, son, are you having problems? I said, no, sir. I just want to thank you for teaching me good old-fashioned horse sense. I want to thank you for taking time. You know, I feel sorry for the kids that their mother and dad don't take time to help them. I really do. And I just want to thank you and Mother for stopping and taking time with me. And I know there were times that they probably shook their heads and say, will he ever learn? But I did. And you know what, Christians? Every once in a while, we need to stop and look towards heaven and say to our Heavenly Father, Father, thank you for taking time with me. Thank you for being patient with me. Father, thank you for saving me and giving me heaven. And Father, I want you to forgive me when I wouldn't listen to you. And Father, the price I paid when I walked away from your righteousness, Lord, I know that was my fault and not yours. The respect of God and honoring God is the beginning of wisdom. You know that, don't you? And when the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about respecting him and listening to him. Christians, I hope, and we have a sweet spirit in our church, and souls are being saved, and families are being added, and we're having all these wonderful things happen. I hope that we stop long enough and say, Lord, thank you. And Lord, help us to keep our ways your ways and not our ways. Because he's got a good way. I've heard this illustration before. I'll share it with you this morning. A lot of times you'll find your brothers and sisters in Christ or somebody in the world will come and say, you know, I don't like the way you're doing things. Now, they might not just put it exactly that way, but they'll say, you're nuts for living for God. Or you're nuts for going to church all the time. I heard a guy said that one time to me. He said, Christians are crazy. All they want to do is go to church and do things like that. Well, he wasn't. We weren't crazy. He was the one that was crazy. Now, did I expect him to understand? Of course not. He's as dumb as a box of rocks. Why, he didn't know how wonderful it is to serve God. He didn't know how wonderful it is to have good Christian friends that love you and fellowship with you and encourage you and at your side when something happens and lift you up. He didn't know anything about that. I said, well, you don't like the way I do it. How do you do it? He said, well, I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I guess I don't have a way. And you know what I told him? I said, I like God's way better. I want God's way. God's way is a better way than my way and a whole bunch better than his way. Now, in closing this morning, lost friend, you just turning over a new leaf's not going to work. You just saying to yourself, I'm going to straighten my life up and I'm going to start acting like I'm supposed to act. It's not going to work. You say, well, I'm going to reconsider my position in life. You reverse your position in life all you want to, but it's still not going to work. Dear friend, until you come to the place in your life that you can see that you're a failure, that your ways have been hurtful and harmful, that it's destroying your life, until you come to that place that you realize you're a sinner, you'll never come to the place where God says, I'll save you if you'll just come. You know why? Because you won't listen. Some kids will not listen to mom and dad when they give them good instruction. They pay for it. Lost people, when you go out there in the world and you try to live in the world, it'll crush you. It'll mess you like a bug. It'll destroy you. It'll tear your heart and your home apart. Come to Christ. Jesus said, those that will come unto me, I will in no wise cast them out. And you know what? That's true. Remember me telling you about that man who said, I don't have a way? A few months later, I talked him in coming to church, and you know what he did? He found out something special, that God loves him in spite of his wicked ways, and he received Christ as his personal Savior. And you know, just a few weeks after he got saved, he told me this. Are you listening? He said, Brother Chick, he said, now I understand why people want to go to church. Now I understand that. Now I know what it means to know my God loves me. Now I know what it means to have friends that are closer than a brother or sister. You know what I ask him? Which way do you like the best? Your way or God's way? And he said, I like his way better than my way. Listen, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than mine. There are no excuses. Christian, there's no excuses, lost person, for doing things our way.